Lanolin Plus brings you the Edgar Bergen Show with Charlie McCarthy.
Now, Clip, you say help me, I'll mow you down.
It's Sunday night, and time again for Edgar Bergen with Charlie McCarthy, Mortimer Sturt, and Ray Noble and his orchestra, brought to you, transcribed, by the makers of famous Lanolin Plus products for softer, more youthful-looking skin and lovelier, more manageable hair. Tonight, our guest is June Allison. There's a bright new promise in the words you'll hear tonight about Lanolin Plus Cosmetics. Its very name, Lanolin Plus, promises you radiant, younger-looking skin and softer, shining hair. And remember, even if your beauty's on a budget, you can have the very best. For most Lanolin Plus products cost such a tiny price. Only a dollar and tax at all cosmetic counters. And now, here is Edgar Bergen with Charlie McCarthy.
Oh, yes, indeed. Thank you, thank you. Yes, girls, it's everything you could ask for, Charlie McCarthy.
Yeah. Charlie, there's something I would like to ask you.
Well, go right ahead, Bergen. I'd rather you learn it from me than have you hear it in some tavern.
All right. This is the time of the year when good little boys and girls get promoted and go on to the next grade.
I know, Bergen. They went that way.
I see. How did you do in your final exam?
Well, I didn't even place a show.
I see.
To tell the truth, I wasn't even in the running. I was scratched.
I see. So you didn't pass, I take it?
No, I didn't pass, and you can have it.
Yeah. What was your grade on your final exam?
Gad, what was my grade?
Yeah.
What Ike wouldn't give for a golf score that low.
Yeah. Well, you should have studied more. When I was a boy.
Ah, that's going back now, Buster.
Yeah. When I was a boy, before an exam, I burned the midnight oil.
Yeah, maybe it would have done you a little more good if you'd rubbed it on your head. Or better yet, some Lanolin Plus.
Yes, all right. I suppose your failing your exams means that, once again, you're still in the eighth grade.
Ah, yes, yes, Bergen. It's time to sew another service stripe on the sleeve.
My goodness, Charlie. How long have you been in the eighth grade?
Well, I don't know. But I do know I'm the only kid in the school that gets invited to their PTA meetings.
I know. Well, tell me, what did you flunk in? French, algebra, chemistry, English, history?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. The only thing I passed in was flunking.
I see. I thought you were good in history. What happened? Were the questions hard?
No, but the answers were.
Well, what were some of the questions they asked you?
Well, the first question was, how much did we pay for Alaska?
Well, what did you put down?
Well, I put down, what difference does it make? The deal's already gone through escrow.
Oh. Haven't you learned anything?
Well, I don't know.
What caused the Boston Tea Party?
Well, they heard about the price of coffee.
No.
Oh, I say, Edgar, if you're having a tea party, may I draw up a bag and slosh?
Yes. I was just questioning Charlie in history.
Oh, in history. Yeah. Jolly good sport, yes. I'm simply wizard at that subject, you know. For instance, do you know what George II was responsible for?
No, Ray, what was George the Second responsible for?
George the Third, old boy. That was an historical wizard, you know.
Yeah. Let's see how much you really know about history, Ray.
Uh-huh.
What happened in 1812?
Well, I don't know, old boy. You know. The hotel detective wouldn't let me peek through the keyhole.
No, I mean the year.
Yeah.
I'll give you a hint. There was a war in 1812.
Oh, what was it called?
It was called the War of 1812.
Well, that's rather a good name for it, isn't it? I mean, it's nothing very fancy, but it seems to put the point across. You know? Well, I must be leaving now. I've got to visit June Allison again. Such a crashing bore.
Yeah. Wait a minute. Visiting June Allison is a bore?
Oh, yes, Charles. You know, in person, she's not pretty at all. Oh, she was wearing slacks and an old sweatshirt. And when she shook my hand, I could see how muscular she was.
Ray, that was Dick Powell you shook hands with.
Really?
Yeah.
You know, I was wondering why she asked me if I'd like to go to the steam bath this afternoon. Yeah. Well, tally-ho, chaps.
Yeah, tally-ho.
Now, Charlie, to get back to your disgraceful failures.
Later, Bergen. I gotta finish this thing I'm working on.
Yeah.
I see. Father's name, Edgar Bergen. His date of birth. Yeah. What do you know? We're back to 1812 again.
Oh, no. Heartburn of my heart. That there's my melody. Hody, hody, ho.
All right. Mortimer.
Yeah.
Tell me, is there anything new on the farm?
Yeah. We got a new garbage pail, I see. One of them polite kind.
What do you mean, polite?
Well, when I step on the little pedal, it tips its hat to me. Oh,
I see.
Look, Mr. Bergen, I was lucky on the way over here. I found a brand new pencil.
You found a pencil?
Yeah.
Well, what are you going to do with it?
Well, it's too nice to just go to waste.
Yes, of course.
So I think I'll write a book with it.
Write a book?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They say any idiot can write a book. You know. And if that's all it takes, I'm their boy.
Yeah. Are you going to write fiction or nonfiction?
Well, maybe not at first, but I'll work around to it later.
What was that?
I don't know. Miss me.
Could you repeat it?
I don't think I could. No, no.
They say to be a great writer, you must have suffered. Would you say that you have qualified?
I would, yes. When it's going to rain, I got a corn. It hurts like crazy.
Anyway, your book, you're going to write,
Yeah. There should be room for two of us up here, shouldn't there?
You're going to write a book.
Yeah, good for you, yeah.
Now, how about the story of your life?
Yeah, how about that, yeah.
Where do you think it ought to start?
Well, I think it ought to start when I was born, when you're born. I didn't amount to anything before that.
Were you born in a hospital?
No. We was poor folks. I was just homemade. I see.
What did your father say when he got his first look at you?
Oh, no!
Well, now, that's not possible.
That's the second thing he said. Oh.
What kind of a baby were you?
A boy, I think. A boy.
You were an only child?
Yeah. I was a very small litter. Yes.
Do you recall much of your early days?
Yeah. My mother and father, they were sick most of the time. I see. Yeah.
What were they sick of?
Me. I remember my father used to take long walks in the woods and leave me there. Oh, I see.
And what about your mother?
Well, most every day, my ma would look at me and then go over and punch Pa right in the nose.
Oh, now, you must be exaggerating. How are your parents now?
I don't know. I ain't seen my father since he ran away from home.
Oh, I see. Is your mother living yet?
No, not yet. Not yet. I...
You know, Mortimer, you seem to be getting dumber every day. Tell me, why is it?
Well, I'll tell you, when they was passing out dumbness, they throwed the book at me. I...
Say, Charlie, I understand you have a bit of advice for the lovelorn tonight. How about telling the girls about it?
All right, they'll gladly. Tell your pa and tell your ma and tell your kith and kin that here's a brand new product that does wonders for my skin.
Charlie, any product that can do wonders for your skin is pretty sensational. Seriously, though, Charlie's talking about Lanolin Plus Liquid, of course. This is the wonderful golden liquid that softens and makes tiny lines less noticeable so that skin looks so much more youthful. You see, there's a good reason why Lanolin Plus does such wonders for your skin. Its beneficial esters and cholesterols are the closest duplication of nature's own skin lubricants. The very first time you smooth it in, you can almost feel something wonderful happening. For Lanolin Plus Liquid penetrates and helps to replenish the precious oils that make your complexion so much lovelier than you ever remember its having been before. Yes, there's a promise in its very name, Lanolin Plus. Discover that promise yourself. Get Lanolin Plus Liquid tomorrow. You'll find the price surprisingly small. Only a dollar and tax at all cosmetic counters.
Oh, Junie Allison.
What is it, Charlie?
Junie, I gotta tell you about a dream I had last night. I dreamed that we made a movie together.
Oh, how nice. Was the picture good?
Yeah, but it was kind of fuzzy. You see, I dreamed it in 3D. And in the dream, my glasses kept slipping off, you see.
Oh, that's too bad. Oh,
it's all right. I'm going to have pickles and ice cream for dinner tonight and run a picture again.
Well, what type of story was it, Charlie?
Well, I tell you, it opened in a music store, and there was a pretty girl behind the counter, played by you. And then there was a handsome young fellow walked in, played by me.
Step right up, folks, and get your album of all-time favorite songs. All by myself, all alone, and all of me, why not take all of me for $1.35?
Pardon me, miss, but do you have a copy of When You're Smiling?
Yes, sir. Here you are, Mr. Liberace. That'll be 40 cents.
And here you are.
Oh, Libby boy. Don't you have anything smaller than $1 million bill?
Well, no. The bank didn't come over to my house this morning.
Well, I'll just charge it to your account.
Oh, well, thank you. I thought I had a $10,000 bill on me, but I guess I must have spent it. I buy so many candles. Well, goodbye.
Goodbye. Now, who's next?
I am. I'd like a copy of Sheet Music.
Any special song?
No. I just got back from a fishing trip, and I want to wrap up this halibut.
Oh, well, here's a copy of Swanee River. Your fish ought to feel at home in that.
Yeah.
Or, how about Heart of My Heart?
Well, I wonder if my fish would like that.
Well, I don't know, but I could sing it for him.
Yeah, well, my fish is a little hard to please. He's dead, you know.
Well, if my voice won't wake him up, nothing will. Heart of my heart, I love that melody. Heart of my heart, brings back a memory. I love those kids on the corner of the street. They were rough and ready guys, but oh, they could harmonize. Heart of my heart meant friends were dearer than. Too bad we had to part. I know a tear would glisten if once more I could listen to that gang that sang Heart of My Heart.
Heart of my heart, we love that melody. Heart of my heart brings back that memory.
I love those kids on the corner of the street. They were rough and ready guys. Now, but oh, they could harmonize. Oh, that's the most.
Heart of my heart, men friends were dearer than.
I know a tear would glisten if once more I could listen to that gang that sang.
Well, I'll take a dozen. Say, you're a pretty girl. What's your name?
Mary.
Mary. What a beautiful name.
Mary Glockenspieler.
Mary, what a beautiful name. Why, baby, you're wasting your time in a place like this. Why, with your looks, I could put you on Broadway.
You mean in a theater?
Well, that would come later.
Oh, gosh. I've always dreamed of having my name on a marquee. I can see it now. Mary Glockenspieler.
Yeah.
Oh, you don't know what that would mean to me.
I know what it means to the theater, a longer marquee. but we can talk about that later. Why don't you and I step out tonight, huh?
Oh, I'm sorry, but I don't go anywhere with strange men.
I don't blame you, neither do I.
Oh, dear, here comes the manager, Mr. Balderdash.
Miss Glockenspieler, why aren't you waiting on customers instead of talking to this bum?
I beg your pardon, sir. You're mistaken. The young lady was talking to me.
And I was talking to her.
Mr. Balderdash, a man isn't necessarily a bum just because he's not wearing shoes.
What about those open-toed socks?
They're more comfortable that way. And this tin cup is part of my camping equipment.
And why don't you take the pencils out of it? You're a bum.
Listen, buddy, nobody ever said that to me before and got away with it.
Well, I say it.
Well, you're the first one who ever got away with it.
Congratulations, Mr. Balderdash.
Yeah, just ignore him, Mary. He can't hurt us.
Oh, I can't, eh? Well, suppose I fired her.
You wouldn't have the nerve.
Oh, yeah? Miss Glockenspieler, you're fired.
Well, you gotta hand it to the guy. He's got a lot of nerve. Well, Mary, you didn't want this job anyway, did you?
Oh, yes, I did. My mother is sick and my father isn't working. The rent is due. And I'm the sole support of my two sisters and my poor little brother.
Well, you should have thought of that before you got tough with the boss. But don't worry. I said I'd put you on Broadway, and I will keep my word. You'll be the hottest... Well, there I blew that one, too, didn't I? You'll be in the hottest spot in town.
Waitress, would you come away from that steam table and give me my check, please?
Oh, well, let's see now. You all had shrimp cocktail soup, roast veal shank salad, pie a la mode and coffee. That'll be 48 cents.
Isn't that rather high?
Well, if you all want to eat in a place that's very nice like this that serves Southern cooking, well, you just gotta expect to pay a little more.
Well, here's 50 cents. Just give me the 2 cents change.
Well, I'll have to look for some pennies.
I'll wait.
Hello, Mary. Oh, I see you've got veal shanks today.
Oh, I'm sorry. My stocking seams are a little crooked.
Where did you think of that southern accent?
I get it from the cooking.
Oh, but you look so pretty, Mary, with the color of the roses in your cheeks and the smell of that corned beef and cabbage in your hair.
Oh, y'all should have been here yesterday. We had sour belly and beans.
Miss, really? What about my 2 cents change?
Oh, I am sorry. I really didn't mean to keep you waiting. Here you are, Mr. Benny.
Well.
Mary, I'm crazy about you.
Really?
Yeah, I'm always thinking of you. Wherever I go, I see your face in front of me.
Sure enough.
This morning I was having a cup of coffee, and your face was in it. When I dunked my donut, you took a bite.
Well, honestly. Oh, here comes the manager, Mr. Pendergast.
Miss Glockenspieler. Yes. Why aren't you waiting on customers instead of talking to this bum?
Yeah. Watch your language, buddy. I'm not used to that kind of an insult.
Well, tell me the kind you're used to, and I'll see what I can do.
Mr. Pendergast, a man is not necessarily a bum just because he's not wearing a shirt.
Oh, don't apologize to him there. He can't hurt us.
The last time you said that, I got fired.
Well, you don't have to worry about this guy. He hasn't got the nerve.
Oh, I haven't, eh? Miss Glockenspieler, you're fired. Oh,
see? He's got just as much nerve as balderdash, yeah, and as much fat.
Yeah, I guess all bosses are alike.
Yeah, and they're all played by the same man.
Should I go back and give a little more time for that fat joke?
You...
Sort of walked out of
here. He walked out of
here. We're only here a half hour, you know. But don't worry, Mary.
Yeah, I'm lost.
I know.
Yeah, where are you?
You're following me. That's your trouble. I'll get you another job.
Well, I thought you were going to make a star out of me and put my name up in lights.
Well, now leave it to me, honey. I've got just a place for you. You know where the Ziegfeld Theater is?
Why, yes, I do.
Well, a friend of mine runs a laundry right next door.
My poor aching back.
Hello, Mary. How's your back today?
Poor been aching. The Glenmuir Storvy was never like this.
I hope not. See, what happened to your southern accent?
I lost it when you moved me to Brooklyn. My back. I've been working on the same piece of wash all week.
Yeah, that's a tough break. Who would have thought that Ringling Brothers Circus would have sent their tent to this laundry?
Yeah, they weren't starching it yet. When are you going to get me on the stage like your Pavamovist?
Just be patient, baby. In the meantime, look at all the dramatic training you're getting. Ironing those Barrymore collars.
Oh, here comes the manager, Mr. Ebenethy.
Miss Glockenspieler. Why aren't you working instead of talking to this bum?
Just a minute, buddy. Did you know I was standing here when you made that remark?
Yeah.
Well, then, you heard it too, then.
You know, Mr. Ebenethy, a man is not necessarily a bum just because he wraps his belongings in a red banana
That's bandana. It's my turn.
Oh, you know, Mr. Ebenethy, a man is not necessarily a bum just because he wraps his belongings in a red bandana and carries it over on his shoulder on a stick.
Yeah. Mary, you don't have to apologize to him. He can't hurt us. He hasn't got the nerve.
Oh, no.
Oh, I resign.
Well, I have got the nerve, and she's fired.
You know, he says his lines whether they fit or not.
Yeah. Well, there goes another job.
When am I going to get a chance to go on the stage?
Well, I tell you, I could take you down to, No. The union would never let a girl unload those ships, no. Wait a minute, Mary. A big Hollywood producer's in town. He's an old pal of mine, and he's looking for talent. Come on, we'll go and see him. Mary, here he is, the famous Hollywood actor, producer, and director, Dick Powell. Well, Dick, old chum, old pal, old buddy, old chum, I guess you remember me.
What's your name, Junior?
Well, it's Charlie.
Charlie? Charlie who?
Oh, Charlie McCarthy.
Oh, well, at least you've got a pretty girl with you. Her face looks familiar. Sort of rings a bell.
My name is Mary Glockenspieler.
Oh, the bell stopped ringing.
Yes, sir, she's a doll, and she's loaded with talent.
You're certainly right, Mr. McChesney?
Yeah.
MacDougall?
No.
What did you say your name is?
Charlie McCarthy.
Oh, yes. Yes, of course. Charlie McCarthy.
Yeah.
Honey, don't waste your time talking to this bum. Let's go home.
How is your hair behaving these winter months? Is it looking a little dull and dry, and being especially hard to manage because of all the cold and dampness? Chances are that you haven't yet discovered Lanolin Plus for the hair. You see, during the winter months, when hair needs more frequent shampooing, the natural oils that you depend on to keep your hair soft, shining, and manageable are badly depleted. But when you give your hair the benefit of this lanolin-rich dressing and conditioner, you supplement the precious oils that keep it soft and in place. You see, Lanolin Plus, with its valuable esters and cholesterols, is the closest duplication of nature's own kind of lubricants. So your hair just can't help responding, becoming softer, shining, and so much easier to manage. Why don't you try Lanolin Plus for the hair? Discover what it's like to have the kind of hair you've always wished for. Sparkling with highlights and so easy to take care of. And best of all, Lanolin Plus for the hair costs only a dollar and tax. And now, here is Edgar Bergen.
I would like to thank June Allison for joining us tonight. And before we go, here is our rural philosopher, Mortimer, with Snurd's words for the birds.
Oiling a mouse won't stop its squeak.
Thank you, Mortimer. Until next Sunday, good night, everyone.
Remember to listen to Edgar Bergen with Charlie McCarthy, Mortimer Snurd, Ray Noble, and the entire ensemble, brought to you by Lanolin Plus over the CBS radio network at this same time. And remember, even if your beauty's on a budget, you get the very best when you get Lanolin Plus cosmetics for lovelier skin and beautiful hair. Miss Allison may be seen in The Glenn Miller Story, a Universal International production starring Jimmy Stewart and June Allison. Tonight's Edgar Bergen Show with Jack Kirkwood, Paul Friest, was produced and transcribed in Hollywood by Sam Pierce, script by Norman Paul, Cy Rose, and Zeno Klinker. This is Bill Baldwin speaking. Next week, the Edgar Bergen Show with Charlie McCarthy will be presented by Chicken of the Sea, the greatest name in seafood. Buy Chicken of the Sea tuna at your food store tomorrow for the choice tuna center cuts at a budget price. And don't come home without a package or two of that all-new, all-delicious Chicken of the Sea tuna pie.
made with tender tuna light meat, fresh frozen in a seasoned to perfection blend of garden peas and dairy fresh milk and butter. Chicken of the sea tuna pie, a great new American dish for lunch and supper.
This is the CBS Radio Network.